I felt focused about that you ran the 9% of knowledge. Maybe the problems with that problem is likely with financial shape. It's hard to just want to know for a week. But you can know about that and decide about it.
All right, thank you very much for that. Extraordinary beautiful introduction. I'm very happy here. And it's a beautiful institute. I don't know if it'll have a great future. And maybe in 10 years, it will be generally referred to as the institute. Right? So that's all of what I'm pretty sure. Okay, so this just talking about the Nobel Prize. It's a very good thing for our field. It's rewarded the people on the determinant level shows that we will see where he has an inherent scale to it. When you're determinant calculating, you know, conservation theory is an asymptotic expansion, so you don't really know up to what order you're interested, right? But at least in the not first country of the world, we showed that, you know, did check and colleagues are in the photos show that the field actually has the right side. So that's a very great event, and I'm very happy to know the prize went to those people. Okay. All right. So another time. First of all, I want to give you a motivation why it's very much necessary to talk about multiple approaches. Okay, so I give you motivation by necessary to talk about a longitudinal approach to SVM in this university. And then I'll preview the main results for the SU2 case, just to give you a little bit of a flavor of the effect. I'll go then directly into construction of SU2 in this domain, and I think that's the pedagogically most appealing thing to do, and it can be easily extended by SVM, but the SU2 is I'll explain to you why there is an electric vacuum theory which is decompiling, what decompiling base that everybody is basically familiar with expecting an asymptotic free theory to happen. There's a magnetic phase, however, which is an intermediate phase which is pre-compiling. Pre-compiling means that it combines fundamental test forms with the ground state that still allows for the mass. And then there's a central phase which never, which the lattice will never be able to see because of its finite size constraints. And I'll tell you why the properties of the space, it's generally confining, there is no asymptotic H for the excitation in the phase anymore, and that's probably the statistics. Okay, then I'll talk about thermodynamic properties throughout these phases, pressure, energy density, entropy density, which are of course very important for cosmology. Okay, so motivation. So how much can I assume here? I mean, how well are people familiar with the concept of thermodynamics in Euclidean formulation? Can I assume that you know that you have compact factors? So we know. I mean, if not, then these ways are kind of so it's known. Okay, good. So on the experimental side, you know that Rick uses Bohr-Gluon plasma method that behaves perfectly hydrodynamic. And from evolving in hydrodynamical, we set up the method that is created in such a collision behavior in curve that is the most perfect fluid nature. It has an entropy and viscosity density divided by entropy density. It's much, much smaller than the ratio is much, much smaller. Single fluid even. So it's indeed the most perfect fluid. So you have to find out this perfect viscosity model. Then you know that some models for polyp yields are very successful. You describe the yields in a heavy iron collision of various polyp species simply in terms of one drop, which is and of course the mass of the exactly is important. So why is that? Then you should maybe also worry about why cosmological expansion, as we see today, and accelerate the expanding universe today, can possibly be linked to what we see in the Nagy Einkel. It's obviously the same hydrodynamic picture of Christ. And the question is, why is that? Now, let me go into some theoretical derivations. We know for a long time that solar perturbation theory is applied to during this theory breaks down to 1956. That's known more than 10 years ago. And that is because you have very deep screen magnetic moments in your theory which basically quantum instability in the quantum. So at order 2.6 you generate more in the interaction with the perturbation theory than you have in the magnetic curves with the perturbation theory. So people will try to get around it by resolving the perturbative theories and put various ways to do it. But all these approaches have a problem with the conceptual inconsistent system. You generate T-dependent ultraviolet divergences which you don't know are really nice. That's one problem. There are several other problems which I don't have the time to go into, but it's certainly a sick thing to do. On the lattice, we know that for a temperature is much, much smaller than a critical, say critical, just two critical temperatures, the Young-Mills scale of the theory, we discover a spatial string tension in its bare root component of the temperature. There's a strong amplitude effect in advance of even the decombining phase. And basically, that just mirrors a statement that the dimensionally reduced theory is defining all temperatures. Yeah. If you have a very high temperature, you can reduce your theory dimension over the zero modes. You bring up a three-dimensional theory, that theory is combining all temperatures. And the statement appears in the form of the theory. Okay, now let me give you a preview for SU2. That's a phase diagram. So at very large temperatures, we have an electric, what I call electric phase, the phase is combining exactly its net phase. Or just a mass of photon, a mass of W photons, whose mass, however, dies off the power law as she goes to the. So we indeed recover Stefan Boltzmann limit at very high temperatures, which we all want, right? We want to have mass of W to freeze a little bit. The ground state in this phase is described by a rigid, I mean non-fluctuating, low dynamically, non-fluctuating quantum energy mixed field. Which is made out of trivial learning hours. I'm going to explain everything to you, just to do it. What characterizes this transit is that it has isolated magnetic monopoles floating around it. And you can compute the type of transit that it's magnetic, but it's outlined by solar excitations. So, normally, the patient generally has a piece of force transit and pressure that's linear. So, at large temperature, just the excitations make it clear. Symmetry breaking, the SU2 is apparently broken to U1 in this phase by the joint mix mechanism, and we have a spontaneously broken global electric symmetry, which is a symmetry that transforms polyhedron to as 350. Can I assume that everybody knows what polyhedron is? It's a water problem that you can find in the. So if the polyhedron group has a finite expectation, we use the decombining phase. That has to do with free energy of quark. That is finite. Okay, so the magnetic phase is what I call pre-combining because we still have a photon here, the photon is massive. And water problem for the transition from the electric to the magnetic phase is still the polyhedron to put a massive photon, you can do whatever you want. Yeah. And density of phase power, as it is in the electric phase, transit is characterized by a rigid complex scalar, which is modeling the condensate of magnetic monopoles. But modeling is fine. And the topological defects for floating as isolated defects run in the vacuum, which is able to work into the center. The pressure of the transit is still negative, symmetry goes from U1 to set to magnetic, which by the way is floating massive. We recover a global set to electric symmetry in this case, which just tells us to be on the confining test. Confining is the confining test for the string and the test for. There's another phase transition which happens in months or months ago and then even lower temperature. So typically the range of the magnetic phase is like 10% of the first critical temperature, so it's a very narrow phase. So we have a phase transition which is non-dual, it's a hard-on transition. The excitations in the last lower end of the low temperature phase are central vortex in the vortex in their intersections, and you can show that density of phase in this phase is exponentially rising, so you can get a hard-on. Have the highest temperature Plastics characterized by a complex scalar, which is commented on the photosynthesis, that we know loads of time. The pressure of the plants that is at this urine is protected against the negative directions by some things we thought we said to magnetic centrifuge and scalar movement. The electric centrifuge, of course, store knowledge, specifically. Okay, so. Let me go ahead, take the assumption, and I emphasize that assumption will be proved in 2 months. Okay? Just the working assumption will probably be proved. So, SV2 and SV3, that's gauge proofs which allow you to remove patterns in the grade. If you go to the higher end, you have to specify the symmetry grade pattern in the electric phases, and you run these two. So, it's boundary condition which you have to find. And for SV2 and SV3, that boundary condition is fixed, and it's not going to be. So SV2, SV3, you have the thermodynamic condenses, non-interactive trivial volumic colorants that are, for SV3, embedded as SV2 colorants, right? Into the macroscopic neutral mixed field, which is present at any matrix lab condenses.
SV3 will be neutral?
Yeah, no. I don't know. Now, this is the definition of a mixed field. It's an average over a field for a layer, which is a nominal object. Which has risen that is observed to make the field locally, the macroscopic field, locally functioning. So what I mean by that is, of course, the joint mixed field has to transform like that's all that's good. And you convince yourself easily that this is the case. On the other hand, you see from that definition that on the left hand side you find something that's dimensionless, and on the right hand side also dimensionless. That has to be fixed, but otherwise we would be able to predict the Mnist scale on the time. The Mnist scale is a thing for data theory.
What do you mean by your execution? So what's the carabine and the
So that's an assumption at the moment, but we're going to prove that. So the average is only over zero modes of trigger volumic colorants. So you don't include topologically trivial calculations in the average. Okay? Dilute colorants and zero mode conveyance, that's it.
Okay, we should define it for
sure, I will. Okay. Now, what about colorants? Colorants are self-full, or anti-self-full solutions to the Euclidean equation of motion tension. And due to its self-fullness, the Euclidean energy momentum tensor lends precisely. Yeah, I mean, if you write down energy density of that fluid, it's just E squared minus G squared, because it's the heat. It's just not minus B, the energy density dependence, right? And that's also the case in the context. Yeah, it's still the
truth. Okay, was it short? You need a number of words, yeah. It's a light one.
Okay, so I just gave you one argument. It's not showing up here, nothing like that. So that's
exactly.
All right, so it's self-dual, but it comes in two species. First species I can refer to as trivial volume, next species I can refer to as non-trivial volume. Now, what trivial volume means is that the polyakov group at spatial infinity just approaches it. So the A not field of the solution goes to zero at spatial infinity. Okay. No matter what it comes to, it's just a fast forward exponential of fundamental rate of it. In the So if that's unity at infinity, then the A not has to go to zero. Okay, so you don't have any mass scale in the solution that possibly provides for the fast. So what the trivial volume color on is just basically a periodic isotope. know how to generate periodic principles, like the sort of pH, treatment rate, the neural sound, treatment tension, etc. That's the reason that many such structures. That means you can take a smooth limit to go into zero and recover the singular pH or something. Now, in the other case, so what I also should say that this one protective action around this solution is just class protection. It's the protection. Last time stuff that depends on temperature, if it's small, or if the instant current radius is small as compared to the universe temperature. So that solution had a chance to contribute to the partition function. Now, on the other hand, we have not really long, the other ones which just the opposite way of playing with it. Doesn't go through the unstable infinity. That means we have a scale in the solution, which is A naught unstable infinity. But A naught besides about masses is different from the molecules in the solution. So there's for SG2 there's a monopole from energy charge plus one and monopole from energy charge minus one in the solution. What's very important is to notice that the one effective potential for this solution is divergent. It's in similar meaning. So here, the volume of space goes to infinity, that solution shouldn't make any technical difference. It's just actually a question. However, I will argue that it's not allowed from similar meaning. There is a maximal size of volume that can possibly trap into the formula. So there is a huge supply chain, but it's not needed. Now, this solution has been investigated by Vyachov just about 3 or 4 months ago, okay? And it was shown that it can stay alive under 1.5 degrees. So, if you have some monopole in solution, in magnetic anti-monopole, then depending on the value of the holonomy, you may not feel that big in the either this magnetic monopole will be mouthy, or so they are fast. And then the solution is not stable. Very good. So in the first case, you end up with isolated organic molecules at infinity, plus and minus infinity, and then in the other case, nothing more. All right, so
what do you know for the instant one form? Or is it one form?
Because they are periodic.
Yeah?
They're periodic in the time.
Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah, let's just give you an action plot, action density plot for cylindrical flow. I think our orange is here, you can see here. Substrate, right? Magnetic torch substrate. So wherever there's a lump, the action density is a slice plugged on the space device, the magnetic torch. And as temperature increases, the torch in the classical solution separates more than one. And the reason why you don't have people peaks is that the mass of the monopole is decided by the A naught state infinity for one thing and basically a number minus A naught for the other thing. So that's not a symmetric. So if these two numbers were to be the same, then one of those would have equal margin and would see equal size lumps. Alright, so let's go into the concept. So the concept constructs the macroscopic thermodynamics with the theory is borrowed from macroscopic theory or something like that. It's a shadow view that makes the problem better.
I think it's just with the transparencies because they're reflective. You might have to know that.
So when it was there, when it was cool down.
Yeah, we can turn the light down again if you want.
Yeah. Oh, there's no signal. There's like that light from right here, like it's just like the light down. Here, where the light and some transparency. Yeah, and it's showing a lot of.
Okay, so the concept is forward from macroscopic theory from superconductivity, just a concept. Where you just break the U1 electric magnetism by a two-book condensate massive, right? In the superconducting case, you have a massive macroscopic flow zone above the condensate, it's very So the idea is really that you make a scale separate in your underlying partition function for the gauge field into a port that is providing the existence of two-book pairs, so basically, phonon interactions that make two-book pairs ultimately or electromagnetic interactions. But you put into the system, right, when you have something left to start creating problems, you can condensate as equals. And that separation is very useful because you can basically understand a lot of problems.
So we need to have some kind of free effect in the course of so much
We need screening now in that's right. It happens at very small length scales, that's right. So it's really scales at the beginning. Okay, so if you have a non-managing amplitude for your complex scale here, that breaks the one to nothing, and in addition you look for pure gates, you can impact on this scale field, which together describes the constant. And then you compute the mass for your fluctuations by being effective, becoming very expensive, and you impose a condition for thermodynamical consistency to derive the temperature dependence of the parameters that all of you detection in a superconducting case. Okay, so the same idea of this here, right here. Okay, so let's consider a structure. Just to give you the outlook on constructing. The question on how to construct your potential for the atomic Higgs field is unique to answer it in you need the answer by considering things like put there. First of all, you want to have the microscopic property that the energy momentum tensor and hard and dilute gas halorons vanishes identically inherited to the macroscopic field. Because the first step of constructing the field assume there's no direction between the halorons. There's no direction between the halorons. The halorons are all energy free, the macroscopic field that is defined by these halorons. So that's the first condition. That condition translates into macroscopic field as a case. So if I find a solution to that equation, that first order equation, then I'm guaranteed that everything matters and so on the macroscopic field finds also that in the absence of any residual topologies, green interactions. Okay. Now, that's the first condition. The second one is, of course, we have finite temperatures, and psi has to be picked up. And the third condition is, I want to describe a ground state. So the gating variable modified with this modulus, which ultimately describes the mass spectrum, has to be independent space time. It can be a function of temperature, but it cannot be a function of time and space. Right? So these three conditions, as it turns out, fixed potentially. These are certainly physical conditions. Okay, now once you have a solution to that situation, you will take the interactions to be the color ones that you assume to be interaction free in the first stage of the development into the down and macroscopic level by looking for pure gates to be macroscopic. So you plug the solution into the right hand side. First of all, you make sure the solution doesn't fluctuate. If it does fluctuate, it's just the background that doesn't get back react into any trivial quality fluctuations. You plug in the right hand side of your macroscopic gate between, and you find it's a pure gate solution that still is like the one state, but however, picks up the problem. And if it picks up monotony, then it means if you're not interested in precise dynamics, just need to know the impact of this problem. The energy density, the impact of the constant, and so forth. So, okay, so I'm going to explain a little bit more detail. Okay, so once you have a ground state, you can compute the excitation spectrum for the plane wave excitation without it by the adjustment. So, what you divide is a spectrum of the thermal water according to the mass. Now, since you have an implicit temperature dependence in parameters now in your theory, you have to make sure that the theory is thermodynamically self-consistent. In addition to doing that, you need to fix an unique equation, an effective equation. This evolution equation predicts existence of the system. Okay, that's that for that's the now, let's go into the details. Okay, so we're talking about this high temperature phase electric phase, which happens to have an effective action that just has a topology-free curvature term, yeah, she's good. But it has a kinetic term for the atomic field, and it also has a potential. Now, as I said already, this potential is uniquely determined by the frequency of the lambda. That is the 1 over pi squared. There's a scale in the potential lambda e, which ultimately will be determined as the scale. Okay, so now you saw the weak gas equation subject to the right hand side, which is a spheroid. But the spheroid is, of course, only finite global weight. It's a spheroid, a single spheroid. So basically what you do is by picking a certain noble gauge is does the through group manifolds, is picking the binding direction of the solution around this solution. So depending on what gauge you choose, you will pick your direction. And this is absolutely irrelevant. So I just chose it to be a Pauli matrix number 1 times basically pi divided by its number square. Can you use lambda 3 or whatever, it doesn't matter. Okay, so a solution to the BPS equation now turns out to be a binding solution.
I know, I tried.
Maybe you just clarify now, unless you waste so much time.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it's still visible, but so.
Yeah.
I can do it well. Okay, thank you. Okay. So the solution is a binding solution. That's what I just indicated here. You have a binding along U1 circle on the S3 manifold. Okay. The binding is parameterized by this exponential, and the radius of binding is shown by the magnitude. So if you write down potential in the joint, I mean, the joint here, we have three directions, but I'm just making it simple. The potential has a forward effect, half of the forward effect square, but this basically is dual binding to a cone of potential, and the radius of the binding is in the magnitude. Okay. Now, there's of course the possibility of having binding on this offset unity, which also reaches to the BPS equation, but I explain myself to topologically thought unity, just topologically thought one out of the and it happens to be almost exactly. Okay, so you know that the action is the test, yeah, that's right, exponential is the test. Okay, so binding number 1 will do the job, and what you now observe is that the modulus of the solution is just given by the square root of the standard unit. So you need to get a quasi-Fourier accepting spectrum of 3.1 out of the solution. So now, the next important question is, does the phi I just found fluctuate? Does it have any quantum fluctuating wrong, otherwise it wouldn't trust your concept that it's a good fluctuate, because it's looking for a lot of fluctuates. If you show that it doesn't operate by computing the curvature of the potential on the solution, dividing it by the positive scale, which is skin by phi, and by noticing that this ratio is much, much larger. So there is no problem that works. The offshoreness of phi has to be restricted to the positive scale, right? And if the mass of the polygon is much larger than the positive scale, there is no problem. There's no problem that range. On the other hand, you compare curvature to a temperature, and you see also that there's a number that's much above the unity. That L equals 1 is 2, so our ice cream is coming. So you have a severe boltzmann equation of statistical fluctuation. So indeed, phi is a classical field, it's a background to whatever factors around. Now, let's move on. Let's compute the solution to the macroscopic gauge field equation, which just came out of the variation of the action with respect to the topological field example, right? So I see that I get a solution to this equation that makes the covariant derivative now vanish on phi and at the same time the derivative. So it's really still a pure gauge solution, but it has a finite modulus, right? That means by macroscopically taking into account interactions, a domain is taken back on the time, I introduce a metric model to my constant. And now if you exploit the statement for variant derivative vanishes and curvature vanishes, you end up with any action just advanced statement that is only dependent on energy. So you limit it to advanced state energy plus the value of the potential and measure the minus one. By the brackets. You would do that microscopically, it would be an answer problem. Because yes, magnetic molecules floating around in the environment state, which have huge trajectories, and we're not able to track down what it's still in the problem. Instead of liquid, so it's a doomed enterprise. But in macroscopy, you're only interested in solar energy theory in the effects. Now, so what we see is that potential is just linear in temperature, that means for very high temperatures, radiation can just dominate all the energy that's been used. Now, okay, maybe I'll just give you a snapshot of vacuum physics. On a mesoscopic physics, yeah, these magnetic molecules, by the Kittle mechanism, turn out to be the intersection points for four or more Holloway waves of these degree. And that's an old known story. Of course, that's only a snapshot. Next piston, a single tube over here, right? And the main boundaries will say adjust accordingly. So if you have your sushi next time in a Chinese in a Japanese restaurant, you have a miso soup in the toilet, at least three of your soup, yeah, made for a bit, you see exactly the combination of these domains in the soup already, right? So it's somehow universal thing. And also then you steer it a bit and wait for 30 seconds to see new main domain combinations. All right, so let me now talk about the confining or deconfining property of the transcript. So I only have transcript physicists. Now, if I compute the prior path to finding back on gate field configuration, I just appear in the process of using it. I see the prior path to is minus one. It's not one. So that's just a decay of my non field around. Now, in order to compute the mass spectrum of the theory, I would like to go to a gauge that's convenient, right? I would like to have a decoupling of excitation from the background state. Okay? And that gauge is conveniently given by unitary, by the background being zero. I can gauge the gradient background statement, but the gauge translation that I need to do that, is it an admissible expression? Is it admissible? Okay, so let's investigate it. It turns out the gauge transformation you need in order to gauge the background to zero from singular periodic or in non-regular non-periodic gauge. So of course you know your long run swing now. If I make gauge transformation as non-periodic, how can I possibly not touch the physics under this gauge transformation? That's the positive finding mechanism here. You probably know from string theory or something. If you do a gauge transformation in finite temperature theory, it's non-periodic generally, if you increase in fact potential by disturbing the boundary conditions of the fluctuating, one would take integrating out the perturbations from one gauge and the other one gives you near potential in one gauge and a finite effective potential for coming from changing the boundary conditions. Now, question is, does this also happen here? And what turns out to be the case is, that the probability of fluctuations around the but it's a little bit subtle. I mean, you don't see it right away, but what turned out to be the key argument here is that the delta function times the theta function is just zero. This is what you need in order to understand that probability is not. Okay, so you can quietly go to unitary gauge, no physics is changed by doing that. But you have to apply a singular gauge transformation. The singular gauge transformation, of course, changes the value of the Fourier coupled from minus one to plus one. Right? So what you just showed is that you induce a global set to electric symmetry by a singular gauge transformation along the time component that changes the Fourier coupled from one vacuum to the other. Right? So what you just observed is then, so if you write down a potential for the Fourier coupled now, the three-dimensional field, right? The potential has a minimum here and a minimum here. Minus one here, plus one here, by a single gauge translation managed to net one to the other. Single gauge translation is a global set for polygon. So indeed, you have shown that the electric set to symmetry, global symmetry for polygon, is spontaneous. discount. That means you're going to be compliant with this. Okay, so since I can teach you engineering very much, I can go ahead and populate the master from that page. And it turns out to be just given by effective gate trapping types, the modulus of the Higgs field, which is 10 to 10. Now you can compute the one loop pressure for your excitation spectrum and add the transient component that you modify as cluster. And it happens to be of this form, it doesn't matter. This form of the pressure is, however, not thermodynamically self-consistent unless you impose an implicit pressure dependence in the pressure canceled in the relativity system. Only then can you assure that the thermodynamic qualities that you derive in the underlying, from the underlying condition function have the same relation to those each other. They can be met by the Schrödinger transformations onto each other. That you assure that the composition A is just a temperature response from the downgrade of the dynamic system. Now, this equation is giving you an evolution equation for the effect of the coupling constant. And what's important to note is that the right hand, so that's first of all, the solution of temperature as function of mass. You have to convert it, coupling as function of temperature eventually. So what's important to notice is that the right hand side has two zeros. So there's two fixed points. And the zeros just come about by the definition of this thermodynamic function A minus B A. So there's a zero at A equals zero. And that's just your perturbative naive physics, right? And you have no masses. So that happens all the way at the time scale. And the other point, the A equals Z, B is the case constant. And the W equals the okay, so now you have this evolution equation that tells you that there's a higher and lower temperature in space. And this is all. Okay, now we saw that you write effective gauge coupling as a function of temperature. And what you see is that imposing that the color organization happens at, say, 10,000 times the Yamil scale, you run very quickly into a plateau until you run into a logarithmic divergence at some critical temperature that is uniquely determined by the n of the SVM years. So that's the isotope factor for n. Now the plateau value of this thing happens to be 5.1. Now what does it mean to have a plateau value? It means indeed that you have isolated magnetic torque with the flux state without the surface. Yeah, because it cannot be calculated. So if you must go, if one goal here, certainly changes its mass as much, but it also changes its speed. Yeah? I mean, it just gets kicked around, but it cannot change its charge. That's exactly what we consume at the schedule. Now, what's even more important is that as you vary your initial condition at high temperatures, you always find the same factor in the same internal temperatures. So you have an attractor in your evolution because it's just a total of different temperatures. Now, that just tells you that the UVIR decoupling that you had in the underlying is realized in that microscopic level. I can go to Planck scale, I can go to the electronic scale, I can go to wherever I want, I always find into the same plateau value as no temperatures. Now, what happens at this logarithmic plateau is the question. You know that the mass of the magnetic monopole out of classic solution is just given by the Higgs diagram divided by the gauge coupling. So the mass of the magnetic monopole goes to zero at this logarithmic pole. At the same time, the mass of the W goes infinity, so you get a decoupling of the magnetic. So what you do is actually reorganizing your bound state in terms of fundamental magnetic monopoles, and at the same time that the photon pick up mass by the so that phase transition for SV2 is first second order, and it reduces to one gauge and three to nothing. And at the same time, you show that the player group has the advantage of two to the gauge forcing from the mass. You can show that all right, so indeed, you're on a compliant phase now. But for that group, the advantage is that you're on a compliant phase. Now, you may now wonder, if I did my whole analysis only at one loop level, and I have a huge gauge coupling, how can I possibly rely on this to be exact? And a large gauge coupling front of the other one, you can just come there, or it's in my pressure. Now, that happens to be not the case since we have positive constraints. So we know that the typical off-shell momentum of the gauge field calculation, certainly in the loop, cannot be locked in the process. Unitary gauge, you know what you're doing in both systems. And also the center of mass energy and the vertex cannot be larger than the conductor. So you have two numerical constraints out of your technical theory restriction, and that happened to constrain the two loop contribution as compared to one contribution to less than 10%. So the diagram is delta two loop, delta one loop as a maximum temperature. Here's the critical temperature as maximum and dies out to zero by fixing the maximum zero point. So indeed, what we did in one loop was basically time. It's not, I mean, it's important that it's not by exact cosmological, but it is for any reasonable analysis. So you recover that you're practically non-interacting quasi bodies that carry all this fine interaction in terms of their temperature and chemical masses. All right, so now I talked about this next case. Magnetic phase for the monopole condensate has a finite depth. You can write down a definition for this monopole condensate phi, which is the surface integral over the magnetic flux. That's the total temperature out there. The dual field strength. If you integrate over any surface, if you get the flux that comes out of the monopole, that flux could be annihilated by the Dirac string flying into the monopole, if you had an isolated monopole. So that would be precisely zero. Then you have isolated monopoles. But since we now have a condensate of monopoles, it doesn't have to be zero. So that's the order form for this concept. Okay, I already told you that if you show that to the polyakov loop in this case, then it's identically, so you have a final phase. And that, again, also that you have a final phase. Now you can do, I don't bore you because you can do the same philosophy again. There are massless monopoles that means at the macroscopic level. These are taking directions in time. The macroscopic field is the energy field, like energy vector field. You write down a GPS equation, basically it's the same potential on both high squared and large, and the field zero is simple. So you again write an evolution equation for the magnetic gauge coupling, which for isolated monopoles is just 4 pi over the electric coupling. Right? But which is certain electric case, that gauge coupling is constant. But now in magnetic case, if I have a condensated monopole, I don't have torque conservation. Monopoles sit on top of each other like crazy. I mean, motor torque conservation. So indeed, you can have a running of your effective magnetic gauge coupling as constant temperature, and that equation is the terms that run. Again, you observe that there are two kind of fixed points of the convolution corresponding to the highest level of temperature, and photon mass is a median border parameter to describe the second of this. So if you have any questions, please interrupt me. I mean, we're close to fast. Okay, so this is the result for the evolution of the magnetic coupling. You see that at the critical temperature, any constraint for the critical temperature, you get critical behavior of the gauge coupling, which is of course linked to the proton mass, g times the length of the proton mass. And that critical behavior you can conceive as a critical exponent. Okay, so again, a logarithmic divergence at low temperatures, meaning that at this point, A and O vortex is a check in action. S, A, and O is just one of the G strands from that. We have non-local objects in three dimensions. On the other hand, you should be aware of the fact that correlation length in the monopole condensate typically is the coupling value of electric gauge coupling based on the times inverted multiple. That has been fine. So you have an infinite correlation length in your ground state, meaning that any other simulation that tries to aim at a magnetic phase just is doomed to be impossible. If you have finite size letters, you just destroy the threat effects by having that. Okay, so let me come back to the question of the critical exponent. Out of this evolution for the magnetic gauge coupling, I can fit critical exponent to be just what you expect to be. So you're taking infection fund, which is the fund of the ease of concern and sensitivity infection fund, for this critical exponent as a function of interfitting the products. And at the infection fund, it happens to be 0.61, which doesn't matter all the time. And the I thing is 0.63. So they are the same thing with other class that's known since it is really not a problem. So I observe that it's in the second of this. Which is a confining case, it's the one you can see still on the lattice graph. If you go from the electric side, you can see it. But beyond, you can put the temperature. So that's a good test, right? And I also should say that for SU3, there's actually two infection points in this code. So you don't have a unique way of fitting a critical exponent and determining a critical exponent anymore, just meaning that the case is in a possible second order. That's what groups know about. Okay, now I talked about this center vortex condensing case, and we just define the field for it by the space velocity over the gauge field of magnetic waves, which is now a gauge field involving magnetic monopole fields as well, not only fluctuations, but also magnetic monopole fields. And so that's a space velocity loop. Again, I mean, you can see that you don't have to use a scale here, right? Which should be the case for the angles. You cannot determine the scale out of nothing. Okay, so in order to implement the symmetry breaking, now it's not only one over pi squared, it's not just an extra term for it, that allows you still to have a homogeneously transforming square root under the set to magnetic, but breaks the sort of like, that's what I'm showing now. You solve the GPS equation, and the solutions are not transformed. So as a function of time, you vary the modulus of your solution, that means thermodynamics is an exactly class, it stops actually in time. And of course, I mean, I'll tell you that the classical solution is not really reliable. So it's periodic, but it doesn't describe thermodynamics anymore. All right, so let's look at the potential in a little bit more detail. So for SU2, it's the left. In the left equivalent potential, yeah? Has two zeros at pi equals scalar, its inner potential, and has a pole for small pi. It also has some regions with curvature, tangential curvature of the potential is negative. Right? So if you run with your classical solution, divide these groups into one of these regions, you cannot possibly rely on the classical equation. Right? You have classical solution just keeps it. This. Right. So okay, I'll just show you that explicitly for various n. Indeed, so that's the curvature divided by the scale, and you see that there's tachyonic features as you go along the classical negative mass effects. So what happens for SU2 is you start the case. Start your case transition at this point there. Right? You roll along the classical solution, you run into the tachyonic machine, and then the solution tunnel the other side of the tachyonic wall, so it's different. Where the field then has undergone a phase change. Basically, you had a phase plus one on the right hand side, and then a phase minus one on the left hand side. Since the phase is defined to be Wilson group, that corresponds to the local flux generation. So if you run across the tachyonic machine, you will locally generate the magnetic flux, the standing flux. Now you go around on the tachyonic machine, again run into the tachyonic machine, you generate minus flux. Due to overall flux conservation in theory, you increase the intensity of the magnet. So that's an excitation. Now it's not the only excitation, and of course, the interaction between these gases. And so that's the next point. And the intersection point is just not anything. Okay, now it's not only one intersection possibility, but there's possibility of having finitely many intersections. And you can easily convince yourself that due to this largely rising multiplicity of states, it could be a number of exact intersection points to generate an over exponentially rising density of states in the centrifuges. That of course tells you just in another way that you cannot have a solar wave. You have to sacrifice just greater one of the in the first place to reach the market. You cannot do the solar energy. Okay, so it's a violent state. It's a weakening constant. It would be basically the cater bound state. The only thing that's left in magnetic phase is the bound state at the transition point, because all the gate flap phase is decoupled. And the cater bound state can be poly gate vibrations, which are this form. Okay, so we had a lot of transition. And what's even more important is that once the field collapses to the minimum of the potential of the tapestry inside at zero, we show curvature in this minimum is much shorter than the compulsive escape rate. That means, so that is one possible. That means the zero pressure of the ground state once the field is there is a protective entity. No possibility of possible. All right, so let me go into the details of thermodynamics. I mean, just on the topic of thermodynamics, what are you doing? In the electric magnetic phase, the second phase is, of course, due to this tachyonic tunneling. This is a little bit more tricky to simulate, but you can simulate it and let it also impact the theory. You can do that. And I have a little amount of energy, right? Okay, so let's just talk about electric magnetic phase. Pressure goes from Stefan Boltzmann's limit at very high temperatures, and then it goes to negative values as you approach the electric magnetic transition. It will be more negative in the magnetic phase, and eventually jumps at the Hadron transition to zero. You can have that jump because it's a non-zonal phase. If it was a zonal transition, the pressure would have to be continuous, right? But it's a non-zonal transition, therefore it can have a jump. Okay, so if you compare it to the lattice, in the last, 15 years ago, we used this definition for calculating in fact just the derivative of the law of the coefficient function in vector volume. This is a useful definition in electric phase because I have finite domain size and I can take thermodynamic limit by the way. So if you use that, the expression for the pressure on the lattice, if it's basically just the lattice, is a bigger function multiplying the finite average. And the beta function is, of course, only known interpretatively very well. They use the two-loop universal beta function in this case, and they got exactly the same balance of the negative pressure and expanding the diagonal for the streams. So it's encouraging that you got the same results, but of course, once the theory goes in the magnetic case, then it just breaks down to the divergence. Nothing except from that. It's more negative. Okay, maybe that's just a little story about the history of science. People were, of course, not happy. They thought it's the instability. Nobody really needs our medicine limit anymore. We can't make the pressure. So what do we do about it? It cannot possibly be true that we can't. So what they did is doing something else that's speed effect. Beta-Felt was not happy with this, so what they said is, okay, let's try something else. Let's try something where we don't need to input the value of the beta function. We don't know the beta function. It's possibly all related to the wrong beta function. So we don't know the beta function very well, so let's try something else. So they use the definition for the pressure of T, now plus the derivative, so it's written out here, but the derivative of just relations. And that presumes that V is actually infinite. I just showed you this fact, so then I didn't start making sense to the finite domain sizes. But anyway, they did it, and then on the lattice, this just translates into something like the derivative of the pressure with the gas, the domain is in fact the air gauge coupling. Can be expressed just as a. So you don't need to know the theta function, but at the same time, you need to prescribe a boundary condition for integrating this equation. And the way they choose their boundary condition is such that it never gets named. This is really the temperature.
This is quite a jump of physics. Because it only depends on that.
Yeah. I think it's not the only thing that it reflects. They also subtract the piece in the different material, which is related to people's theory. It's subtracted by hand. It doesn't come. It's total nonsense. It's really nonsense. So whenever you use a lattice equation of state or a Young-Liss theory in your cosmology, it's again not. It's not true. It's just not. Okay, so next thing. So, of course, the pressure is an infrared sensor. It's garbage. No, not about it. I mean, these people did a responsible job. They used this definition. So the definition
makes sense for me.
It makes sense. Yes, you have a finite volume, right?
Yeah.
And the particle can only say something up to the electromagnetic transition. Then the relation makes it just
okay, then it's
yes. So they cannot say anything here. But they get the right thing here. And I talked to them, I talked to them, and I talked to them, and I said, why were you happy with Peter that I'm using the positive pressure all the time? And why didn't you object? Mm-hmm. Never can. Never can. Alright, so I just was going to say that the pressure is an infrared sensitive quantity because it gets a huge transient when you use it. The temperature is close to the atmosphere. It's just this linear and T kind of thing. So it's infrared sensitive. It's really sensitive and huge correlations that have been promised. Okay, now you compute the energy density, which is the smell of infrared sensitive quantity, and what you observe is that for SU2, you get a dip in the energy density of the electromagnetic transition. That dip is very important. It's actually telling, it's actually the reason why we are here, the reason for our near existence. Because it stabilizes the CMB temperature and expression value. If that wouldn't happen, gravity would just give us a mass of photon and a little mass of photon again and again by all this. So it's very important that this dip happens for our existence. Moreover, you see that there is no latent heat being produced, there's just a dip at the SU2, right? This is second order basically. For the SU3, you see that there is a jump which is related to KTT. Jump is not very large. You look at it. It's 7.8 in the electric phase and 7.2 in the magnetic phase. Yeah. So there is a tiny jump, but still generate a finite latent heat classification. So it's mild crystal basically. That's also what the lattice is. So I just can't say something about it. Okay, so now let's look at the infrared incentive. And that quality, the lattice, can still make sense. The other quality with transient contributions, strong correlations in transient are not present, you can have the it's okay. It's just the so that's just a variation of lattice size. Yeah? So the largest lattice on the right hand, that's again the Columbia group. So they got for SU2, they got the jump in the end, so the entropy density. And entropy density is just defined as pressure plus energy density. And for the pressure, we had a minus contribution of the transit, for the energy, and a plus contribution. So you don't have a transit contribution. So, okay, they get a jump at the electromagnetic transition, which is just related to the latency. And then they get a very big relaxation zero in the electromagnetic phase. And that, of course, corresponds to the decoupling of your photon. You don't have any excitation for the energy. Okay, so now look what I got. Oh, sorry. So just take the largest lattice there, even though there's not much of a variation because in different sensitive, not sensitive simulation. Just look at that one. You see it precisely the same thing. And you see the jump at about 3. That's also 3 there in lattice. Jump is not very large, it's about 3.5 or something. It's also 2 in lattice. You get a big relaxation field. So for infrared insensitive qualities, lattice does make sense in magnetic waves. Okay, so summary. I just set up a thermodynamic approach for strong interactions, to be specific for SU and we can in the extended task and not just organize and fix people's extra bucks. And even in this case, but from the group audience. Okay, so there's some dynamic description of that theory, and theory would solve some dynamic theory, like basically show you from the underlying fluctuations and all these active fields also the same thing that I'm okay. They have the binding thing happening and the binding things. But otherwise, I mean, I have a lot of indicators already that that's the right thing. Okay, yeah, but that's the basic piece. I mean, one has to solve these non-local things. Lattice can measure infrared sensitive quantities only down to electric harmonic distances. Beyond that, you have that thing for the techniques. The standard model that G, the upper gap is 10 to 6, that explains the hierarchy between, say, blood mass, electron mass, and neutron mass. I'm going to explain that a little bit more. Infrared sensitive stuff is okay, you can simulate it on the lattice, unless you don't run into the hard one, because there's no way to use that, you really need to make it. Okay, but down to the hardcore transition depends on anything that's not insensitive. There's various cosmological implications. I talked to John about one, and the cosmological coincidence problem you can solve, I think. And you have to extend it to introduce a CP minor. So I'm curious. Okay, then as far as QCP, so another, of course, the CV, the temperature, so it's really a fantastic tool. CMD theory just generates the photon, like the electric magnetic consists. So that's one. There's one point in the phase diagram here, electric, I think, mining. There's one point where you have exact.
So the computer is computing CMD.
Okay, I mean that this theory has total excitation at the space boundary, which is exciting also. The W is decoupled at this point. You can argue that W is not clumping wrong metal. Because it cannot decay into the center phase because it's here in the center. There's some excitations, the particle excitations that the W would be here. Because we always have the temperature fixed at this point. Another thing is intergalactic magnetic fields, right? You wonder how they come about. If you have patches in the universe that are slightly lower temperature than the CMB for some reason, out of density radiation generated by the plane. If you have patches that have slightly smaller temperature than the CMB, you have superconducting mass. Slightly like the quarters being less than the mass. And they just make the mass superconducting and then support off. So that's a quality of data. What else is more than the asymmetry left by the volume asymmetry can be explained like standard experience as to satisfy some of the okay, if you don't have apes, right? For the electro weak symmetry, which happens to be an SP2 electron.
Does it change the phase diagram?
No, it doesn't actually answer the question. It doesn't. CP violet interim is constant throughout the world. But it's important, of course, not the constant. But it's not zero in the center phase, but it's a constant.
So you don't have a
no, yeah, I'm just trying to talk about. So the electrophilic interaction with the standard model are actually an SP2 electron gauge pool. So that has a scale of mass of the electron, and this scale. And what you do is, for the phase diagram, you keep up the value of zero, you have a huge mass of 10 to the 6 times the electron mass. Right? And the same mass is decoupled here, which is also 10 to the 6 times the electron mass. What you left has a between of zero, that signals that the voltage loops coming into the phase, right? So that's the half. And they're already gone, right? They're not that voltage. And their mass is just minus this. 1/4.
So if I extend the same age as the compensate.
Yes, but it's classical. It's classical field which are for this model. It's a classical field. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make any particle difference. But it's just masses.
So you know, okay. So the thing studies of all the relationships that we have. It's not easy to kind of focus the piece.
I know it's not, in a new setting it's not easy.
Because when you calculate standard altitude, you need to have to
That's right. But I just showed to you, once you get a formula solution that leads to an electrical and magnetic phase of the globally, and in the magnetic phase of the field, then I have no direct water point. So I don't have any direct field, which is free. Yeah, that's the idea is not so unrelated actually, but it's deeper. Yeah. Okay, so the Higgs conductor, the electric symmetry matrix is just S to 2 electron, the electric phase goes to U1 plus a stepwise. The U1 goes to the other U1, then the stepwise. So we don't break these fundamentals, but we can plot this then. Okay. QCD, you can couple that box, and it should not be 45 cents, because it's just background color. And they can do carbon coupling, and we can create the two couplings, gate coupling and carbon coupling, which is a color system here. Yeah. So you can say something about that now if you generally want. And then, of course, the properties of elementary volumes, the electron of this chain. Then G factor of 2, right? George is here, and Mars is just here on this hill. Then you should wonder, you should worry about how you can possibly not see the structure. Electron positive material. And the reason is here because there are exponential rising effects in stable states. So if you look at the density of states, functionality for the electrons here, which is of course coupled to all the other species, yes, which is indeed by early mixing disintegrated to the green. So it's charged photon with the electron charge by a mixer that happened to charge. So if you just write down the density of states for this particular combining mixer, then you have a peak at the electron mass, and then due to the instability of higher charge states, higher twists, and the susceptible truths, you can walk. That's fine. It happens to be of the same little bit. So if you do a scattering experiment, all the energy that you put into the vertex at temperature of mass energy spark with the electron mass just gets carried away into entropy, right, since they fluctuate. They get smoothly pushed into kinetic energy of the electron as the photon. Never first structure. If you do not at center of mass energy, they're all much larger, much lower than you see something. So there are QD tests in 1950 to 1970 that just looked at this process. Last scattering, and they compared the speed prediction to the experimental methods of the three levels. It's totally correct, right? And if you start it, I can give you the measurements in the hour also. The excited here is the electron that's sent us mass. Okay? Electron mass, human mass, and so on. You see a nice unity all the way here. You can see it here. Nice unity here. That is statistically significant. That's all my data. Test at the electron mass, which is no side, the higher and say that they support the tail of reaching the community. But it cannot be beside them. So what you're really talking is the fact that they're not getting on the board. And that's controlled by some French lollipops and French fries that are actually the magnetic monopole that we have to accept. Nobody cared about this book. 100 years. Nobody cared about this book. Okay, thanks. That's
it. Questions?
Just about 10 papers which did for the different methods. There's beta alpha, of course, that's between scattering in the nucleus, let's say, and then there's also the activation thing, and neuron production, and so on and so forth. It's my paper, it's a list of references for this discussion. It means it's hard to pick out.
Are they done? Yes.
The good happened in the 60s.
Yeah, he's one of the others that proved to be
no. So, I mean, the good happened is the list of
them. I have a city of hate, but not many of the city can do the closest. So there are two things here. However, you suggest to you that the house city.
So that's just the same one. And then the higher things are instable.
And so the city.
But it's the last one, right?
So then you suggest that the city has to see. So that's a new start to fall.
No, back to your question, why you don't see them in the notebooks right now. I mean, it should be coming out of the session, it's competing with the code, because that's not fine. And since you're just sitting at this space boundary, one of those not just, but you don't see them right now, but if you really knew the rest of how I would, you see them as. You may not wonder how the flow line falls in the effect of that. No, this is just only explained by the person. So very recently, when these monopoles are inflated or affected, the core size of the monopole becomes comparable to the typical photon in my age. The monopole in the photon scatters at the monopole shortly before you set it into this field. And
this called out method, which can be ways of talent, which called out that, which are really thinking about that. So if you don't call out that, you're keeping up.
I mean, there's a lot of this, more and more less from the best that they actually just think of it in two kinds of problems. Last frame of matter, and this stuff that they contribute to the policy.
Yeah.
And the first thing you can, the second thing you can explain in terms of binary technologies. The second one you can explain by the scheme Ws. They have a mass of, if you believe, the coupling is about 10 to the 6th year. They have a mass of sort of 100 degrees or something. I don't know if that's relevant. For last week, or whether that's a good kind of thing. But it never can decay, but I think with the theory doesn't allow it. It can only decay in the matter down here. But it's not a good thing.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's
So is it possible to fix something? Because it's not